Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Drop your socks and grab... Well, never mind. Welcome to a Thursday show here on Fesco and Dusty. Told you I knew every single word for the first 45 minutes of that movie.
It's really insane. I sent him a two-minute clip yesterday, Full Metal Jacket, where Private Pyle has to eat the jelly donut, right? And Nathan is in today because Mac is in Spain. I know he landed. I don't know anything beyond that, but... He is in Spain, and we should have him call in from Spain and just check in.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm running with the bulls, or whatever he's doing.
See if he has an accent yet.
Yeah, right. The 3 hours that he's landed and been over there, he's already moved in. So Nathan is here today. Have you seen Full Metal Jacket, Nathan? Have you seen that movie? No, he is not.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, you got to watch. It's the most intense 45 minutes of a movie this side of Private Ryan you'll ever did see. I mean, right? Wouldn't you say that, Dusty? Like, intense beginning.
I would
movie.
Say it's a Stanley Kubrick film, if that does anything for you. 2000 Space Odyssey,
Agent
that,
Orange,
yeah, all that sort of stuff. It's up there. Like, I think, have you seen There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No,
okay. I've not seen that one either. No.
So that first like 30-minute movie in that movie is intense. Saving Private Ryan, I'm sure you've seen that introduction, very intense, no dialogue, just pure action. And then Full Metal Jacket is about Vietnam, obviously. And it starts off with all the young boys getting their head shaved with the song "Goodbye, My Sweetheart, Hello Vietnam." And they're just getting, and you see all their faces, just like there's no choice. They were drafted into this war,
right? Yeah.
And then it goes to boot camp. And Arlie Ermey, rest in peace. Have you seen Forgetting Sarah Silver? Or not, Forgetting
Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah Marshall?
No, not that movie. Not Forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's Saving Silverman with Jason Biggs and Steve Zahn.
No, I have not.
Well,
know what you're talking
Arlie
about.
Arlie Ermey's in that movie. He's like their high school gym coach or whatever. So he plays the drill instructor, and he was a gunnery sergeant in Vietnam. So he was asked, or he asked Stanley Kubrick before the film started, how do you want this to be? Like, do you want me to give you? He goes, I want you to treat all these actors as if they were privates in your platoon.
And he did.
And he absolutely nails it.
Because it's real. It's not, he's not acting in this movie, right?
No.
He's not acting in this movie. He is doing what happened in Vietnam to these guys who are actors in this movie. Obviously, he's an actor in this thing, and it's not, they're not making him, you know, do the real stuff, obviously.
Right.
But the way that he treats him in this movie, it's just, it is an unbelievable 45-minute start to any movie that you have ever seen. And, I guess it stands the test of time for me, because when I was being raised and all that stuff, is that my dad was telling me about the draft and how he was in high school and college and where his draft number was. So obviously it hits close to home, you know, for my generation. So you're watching this go, that was like 20 years ago and dad went through this kind of stuff. And thank God he didn't get drafted and all that. But it's an unbelievable, unbelievable movie. So I sent this clip to him of the jelly donut because I bet you I can recite the first 45 minutes of this movie to a T. And that's how we kind of started out today. So it is an all-time classic, man. It really is. I don't geek out over movies a lot. Dusty, you know that. I don't watch a lot of movies, right? But this one is this is a must for everybody to see. Watch it on Saturday night, Nathan.
Will do. Yeah. Well, and that's honestly, though, that's what I need is someone that is also not a huge movie person to be like, no, this one.
Yeah.
You know, because like people, Dusty Logan here at the station is another big hill. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have
you,
no.
You and I are more alike with that. Yeah.
And the best part about the movie is that it's two films. Because like the first half is like pre-Vietnam, getting ready for the war, like how people handle boot camp and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second half is like straight into the blank. Like they go into the villages of Vietnam. You see like all the stuff. Like it literally goes from these guys going through boot camp to these guys getting hit on by a prostitute and getting jacked by her like guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's like, here's the war.
Cool.
And it's a very good movie.
Yeah. You guys have sold. You've done a good job. I'll be watching.
A jelly donut.
Yeah. A jelly donut private pile.
Are jelly donuts allowed in the barracks private pile?
Sir, no, sir.
And why not private pile? Because I'm too heavy, sir. Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pile. I have tried to teach Private Pile, but he has failed to learn. Now you will take the punishment. And you owe me 50 on your faces, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, great movie. Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, Stanley Kubrick. He is, and you can tell it's a Kubrick film. Did The Shining, right? All the bland colors, like Full Metal Jacket, red floor, green uniforms, white walls, eerie music.
Yeah.
Very, very good movie. But enough of Full Metal Jacket. It is a Thursday. Hard to believe that we're already here. Nathan in house with us today. Because Mac is in Spain. You're getting married on Saturday, so that's congratulations to that. These two jokers will be there yelling in the background.
Well, he was kind of talking about his wedding stuff, and I said, make sure that you enjoy the day, right, Dusty? And I said, don't worry about people you don't really want there, like Dusty and I.
Say hi, wave to us, we'll Irish goodbye about 6 o'clock, and you won't even know that we're gone.
Take care.
I am ready to
swipe a bottle from the bar.
Exactly. Yeah, get some beer, you know, the beer and the wine's on the house, so make sure you drink up before you leave.
Yep.
But I'm ready for that Irish goodbye. Ready to meet Jen Saturday. I tell you what, just super quick here. You guys have been super instrumental in my time here, so it's an honor to have you, in attendance on Saturday.
Well, it's an honor for you to invite us, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Then Mac is just partying in Spain the whole time, so he's not here at work. He's not going to be at none of it. He's just on the other side of the earth.
And you
just
invited Mac, right? You did,
of course.
So are you sending him a bill for canceling then? Because no. I would send him a bill for $100 for canceling on you.
This is not some sort of plated wedding, guys. If you that's what you're expecting.
Now
weekend.
You said no, if I'm not mistaken here, you told me. And I swear to God, you said this. We're having Minsky's, right?
We are.
That's awesome.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Of course. And, you know, I've been there. I've been at weddings where you have the nice dinner and it's frilly and it's not very filling and it's not very good either.
It never is, yeah.
Expensive banquet food. And then later at night, I don't know, the father of the bride or someone just balls out and buys like 20 pizzas. And at like 10 o'clock, you're kind of sauced and you see Minsky show up.
Right.
Like, why don't we just get just right to that? Why don't we just give everyone what they want and not pay the $80 a plate for the lasagna?
Hell yeah.
I love it. So how, like, is everybody getting their own pie? Like,
it's not even going to be that fancy. No, there's going to be a big old, probably a stack of paper plates and a number of pieces.
Fantastic.
All I need is a napkin. It won't last long.
Yeah, that is outstanding. I love the fact that you're doing that because you're right. Everybody goes overboard with this stuff. And then you're feeding shrimp cocktail to people you're not talking to 3 years later.
Yeah, no, this is, we're honored to have you fill in for Mac. We always enjoy your presence here. We're happy that we're invited to your wedding. So should be good. Well done on the wedding planning.
Yep.
Bye week of the Chiefs game.
Bye week of the Chiefs game. KU's out of town. The wedding is in Lawrence. So that was a big deal. The other weekend the venue was open was the Sunflower Showdown weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing that one.
Right.
Because then the people that stay in the hotel has got to pay $1,000 a night to stay here in town.
Right.
And then, you know, hey, the Mizzou game is less big than it was a few weeks ago. This was looking like it'd be in the middle of a huge Mizzou game.
Nobody going to watch that Mizzou game. Anymore. Even Mizzou fans aren't watching that game.
Yeah, hopefully there's no grumbling about I'm missing this game or whatever.
And if they are, then Binkley doesn't need to show up.
That's true. Binkley is going to be there, yeah. So he will be upset about that.
Beers Free and Minsky's Pizza.
Open, yeah.
Jay Binkley is already there.
He's waiting outside right the venue.
Yeah, I thought you said it was Thursday, Nathan. Who gets married on a Thursday? I don't know. You said Minsky's is here. No doubt. Is it the prime cut? You know, they had the bacon strips on the pizza. It divides them. It doesn't, but you got a pond.
Yeah.
No, it's been a big week for this show. I don't know if you guys follow us on Instagram. They gave the question yesterday. Would you rather go to the beach with myself, Dusty Likens, or go to a mountain cabin with Carrington Harrison?
Right.
Not one vote for Carrington
Harrison. Not one.
Not one.
Not one. I can't imagine why. I mean, the way he leaves his office and the way he leaves, you know, this area right here, I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want a vacation with a slob.
And then we're, did you know this? We're with a celebrity.
What?
We're with Bob Fesco, the award of the pitch's best radio host for sports radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Bob Fesco.
It's funny. I got a couple of texts on that the other
liver?
Day. A couple of texts on that the other day. Like Carrington, I guess, was mad or something like that. He finished in second, and I got a text from Jake at Aspen. He goes, man, Carrington's not happy. He got second place.
Well, Carrington's. The start to his show says, you know, welcome into the drive. It's two time of the year. Host of the year based on Pitch Magazine. So that played right after it was announced. Like minutes after it was announced.
Did it really?
So he just started the show with, we got to take that off. I mean, it was a good
pitch. I'm sure it was really funny. And Carrington finishing runner up is outstanding as well. I love the fact
twice in 1 week. That's tough for our guy, C-Dot. That's tough, man. That's a tough, tough week, man. On a bye week, he's catching L's.
Yeah. And I was not a part of the video yesterday, but Dusty, I'd go to the beach with you. And it's, come on. So it's, you sit over there with all the chewed up pins, I think, after Carrington's
he's taped
done.
Them now to the desk.
And, I'm that guy.
And I
love it.
Yeah, he and I just don't click when it comes to that the office, the way that it's set up. Mm. So, no, I'll take the vacation with Dusty. Thank you very much.
Hell yeah, baby. That's
with the office, the way that it's set up, he says, Dusty.
Yeah, well, that's what Speck said in the video. Yeah. Have you seen his office?
It's true.
I mean, even Cody said he'd go to the beach with me. And Cody's a mountain house guy. Like, he's not a beach guy.
I am more of a beach guy, to be fair. But yeah. I didn't want that to be like a... I'm not... Drew also... If you watch that video back, Drew talks for like 2 minutes. Like, it's not like I like Dusty more. I mean, Carrington's really great. I just kind of like the beach, you know. And
keep
it's like,
backtracking.
Just say Dusty. Drew,
just say it. Just, it's okay. It's okay at this point in time to say that. And I like the beach and I love the mountains. But I'm going with Dusty 10 times out of 10. So, there you go.
Yeah, so congrats on the award.
Thank you.
Bobby Betts Fesco, the number one sports radio host in the city, according to Pitch Magazine.
Do I get a check?
Well, you would, but only three people voted.
Jen, my mother-in-law, and Emily.
That's right. You and Dana share the same award. It's meant to be.
Ah, isn't that nice?
Somebody in the text line from the 816 C-Dot's washed. Like losing to Flacco and your Joe Burrow.
Oh, I love that. That guy gets the rest of the year off for that text. C-Dot's washed.
Been a long week for old C-Dot. Nobody wants to go to the mountains and he's not in the pitch.
But does he want to go to the mountains? Because you're a beach guy. Like, is C-Dot a mountain guy?
I don't
or
know.
Is this just a pure hypothetical?
See, I'm not a mountain guy, but I'm the guy if the group of friends wants to go to Colorado to ski. Baby, I'll be at the bar waiting for y'all to come down the
That's
slope.
That's where I'll be sitting right next 100%. To you,
bro. I blew my ACL. I'm not trying to do it again at 38. 100%, so, man. I mean, I might test it out day one and, you know, go down pizza, fries.
Yeah.
And then I'm finding the hot tub at the place, the resort. How was skiing today? It was great. You guys are already back? It's noon. I'm 6 deep and I'm sitting in the hot tub. Yeah. Come on in. The water's warm type of guy.
That's where I would be right there too. I don't ski. I have once in my life as a child. I didn't care for it. But again, I was a kid. But I'm with Dusty, man. You take me to a ski resort, I'm sitting at the bar or in the hot tub.
100%, man. I'm not. And I'm not going to bitch about it.
I mean,
I love Colorado. I love the mountains. Estes Park is beautiful. But it's a lot more beautiful when you're sitting in a hot tub with zero bubbles, zero troubles
That's
in your
right.
hand and a bunch of bubbles in the hot tub and you're staring out to the mountain range.
Amen.
And being like, I wonder what she looks like underneath that ski suit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of padding.
And skiing gets in the way of drinking.
It does.
That's why I don't like golf. It gets in the way of drinking.
Oh, no, you
drive
drink.
The course.
No, not golf. Completely opposite.
No, for me it does. Cause I don't like activities when I'm drinking. I'm concentrating here. I don't have time for anything else.
Somebody says, C-Dot can't even get a kiss on the kiss cam. And then somebody says, do you think C-Dot is up listening or punching the air in his dream? I think he's over it.
Yeah, it was, I would hope
it
so.
It was a quick stink. But hey, man, at least this station is number one and number two when it comes to the voting because the other guys on the list, how they were even on it, I don't know. But hey, there is a divisional game tonight. Don't sleep on it. Mm-hmm. It's the Vegas Raiders at Denver. Denver hanging 8.5 tonight. We'll talk about that. Plus, there is a whirlwind of trouble in Cleveland.
And a major event in sports today that we didn't know about until 5 o'clock.
I wonder if the baseball lawyer knew about it as well.
I want you to ask him on the air.
I will. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in it on a Thursday. That's right. Hard to believe we are already at Thursday. I cannot believe this. It has moved by so quick this week here on 96.5 The Fan. Hey, some action tonight, by the way. The Vegas Raiders are going to head to Denver for Thursday Night Football. Will you guys watch a little bit of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think I'm tuned in.
This is a big game. This is an important game. And I was
short week?
Yeah. I was thinking about it driving into, and I was getting irrationally mad. First of all, the highway was closed, and the scout system did not say it properly. Up yours to the scout system. If you're going to close every exit, tell us that. Don't say you're going to close certain exits and have every damn exit closed on I-35 this morning.
My GPS told me at the very last second I got off of that thing. It added about 10 minutes of the drive, but
where'd you get off this morning?
75th.
Oh, you got off at 75th. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because 67th, as they said, it was closed. 67th was open. Shawnee Mission Parkway closed. Johnson Drive closed. Yep. Antioch, like all of them closed. I got on 635 North, did a U-ey, went back down Metcalf and got here. But
it's funny, the Missouri guy had easier traffic than you guys did.
But you took Knoll. I mean,
every morning.
Yeah. If you were to come into the interstate area over here, you'd have been screwed. You'd probably still be driving around. I had to put the GPS on. I'm in the woods of Merriam somewhere. I had no idea where I was.
I go through Knoll looking to be somebody's Manny someday. Mm-hmm. Trying to find that single lady that needs a man in her
life.
See,
you should go home on Knoll, because that's when all the house moms are out walking.
They're walking. But I used to live on 95th and Knoll. Mm. Yes. Mm. 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're getting the kids from school, they're walking, they're pushing the strollers, walking the dogs. That's where you got
to
be.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're not going to see anybody except that one guy who wants to be better than everybody else, so he's out running without a vest on.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, Knoll's fun, man. Knoll and 215 clearance aisle Target. Mm. Just saying. Sorry, Mary, guys. But no, there is a big game. Not a big game. I mean, it's a division game. It's the Raiders in Denver. We're all rooting for the Raiders tonight. There's no secret there. We're all Kramer Sansone fans.
Yeah. But I was thinking about the Raiders. You bet they're useless. Like, are they ever going to do anything that's useful? Like, they're a bad team, and I want them to stay a bad team, but I also want to have the opportunity for them to actually beat some teams like the Denver Broncos tonight.
Well, they had that opportunity last week against Jacksonville. They went to overtime with Jacksonville and couldn't keep it together. We saw the uptick in their performance with the addition back of Brock Bowers. He'll be there tonight. It seems like they're using Ashton Jeanty more in the passing game because their run offense is terrible because their offensive line is terrible. But this is one of those games, like, you know, I don't believe in them, but if people would say a trap game. Want to look up the definition of a trap game for the Denver Broncos, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Thursday night in your house, divisional opponent. You're favored by a touchdown and a half to win this game. Not a touchdown and a half. Eight and a half, eight point spread. And we know what happens next week for Denver, right? So, like, if you are a Denver fan, I'm assuming that you're looking at this game like, man, just don't F around. You got Kansas City coming to town. I don't want to be 7-3 with the Chiefs coming in town at 5-4. And then if we lose that game, they're 6-4. We're 7-4.
Right.
We still have to go to Kansas City. And I think from a Chiefs perspective, you're hoping and you're, you know, hexing with your Halloween leftover candy that maybe there's a chance that the Raiders show up and play spoiler. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they can. I don't know if Geno Smith still has it. I don't know what Pete Carroll's going to do against Sean Payton tonight. But I am going to be dialed into this game. One, it's football. Two, it's Thursday night. And three, it's an AFC West matchup where I think that if you do believe in this sort of theory that there could be a trap game, this is it. Denver plays Kansas City next Sunday, off a bye for Kansas City. They're playing the Raiders, who absolutely suck, and it's at home on a short week. All that combined up in the football dictionary of what a trap game looks like, if you believe in them, this is the definition.
And the big spread as well. You know, the 8-point spread, we look at that all the time. And, you know, most of the time in the NFL, we got very close games. This is a big spread in this one. And so I understand why. Denver's at home, the Raiders stink, and, you know, they may have cleaned out the Jets on Sunday in that overtime game where they could have won and beat Jacksonville. Obviously, they can't take care of that business, and I don't expect them to go to Denver and win this football game tonight. Now, I'm saying that because I'm trying to set myself up for excitement. Like, I'm deep down inside hoping that the Raiders win this football game. It would be so good if the Raiders won this football game, but I'm already getting to that point where I'm resigned to the fact that they're not going to win this football game, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to be watching this football game, because I think it is going to be a good one. I think it really is, because it is Thursday night. Usually Thursday night games are kind of crazy, and so
especially divisional games.
A divisional game too, man. Like, I love this game for Thursday night football. I like Thursday. I hate Monday night football, but I love Thursday night football.
You and loathe Monday night football.
It's the worst. It is absolutely the worst. It's usually a game that you don't care about. It's the beginning of the week, the end of the NFL week. You're ready to move forward, and you've got this, you know, this Monday night game there.
Like, the broadcast is stale too.
Yeah,
it's been the same for years. This is not, it's going to sound like a slight to the Broncos, and it's not. This is the way the whole NFL is. Mm-hmm. They've barely gotten by some really bad teams earlier in the season. They did wax the Cowboys. In a divisional game, I think 8.5 is still quite a bit. The Raiders had no problem scoring. They didn't win that game, but they could move the football. Now, Denver's defense is in a different stratosphere than Jacksonville's, but I think 8.5 is still too much for my liking.
Yeah, I think it is a big number. I do, and so I hope the Raiders go in there, man. Play the game of your lives, man. This is the big boy on the block now, right? If you're the Raiders, this is the top dog in the division. Mm-hmm. Go kick their ass, man.
And to give it some sort of credit, the last three Thursday night games that have involved divisional opponents, the underdog has won.
Wow.
Thursday, October 2nd, the Niners played at the Rams. The Niners won 26-23 in overtime. Mm-hmm. The following week, Thursday, October 9th.
This is this year.
Yeah. The following week, Thursday, October 9th, Philadelphia went to the New York Giants. Remember how that game went?
Yeah,
Giants. Scatabue, three touchdowns. Yep. New York won 34-17, massive underdogs.
What was the year? Was it 2014? It wasn't the year the Chiefs were super bad, but it was the year they went to Oakland and lost. It was on Thursday.
Andy Reid's first year. They were okay. Yeah, that was
ever since then.
That was the second year when they went 9-7 and missed the playoffs.
That's what I was thinking.
And then if you go to the next time that happened, we remember this, and this is bizarre that this was 3 weeks ago. It was the AARP game. Mm-hmm. It was Rodgers versus Flacco, and Flacco won 33-31.
How many of those were road teams that won those games?
Cincinnati was the home team and won.
Yeah.
The Giants were the home team and won.
Yeah.
The Niners were the road team and won.
Okay, so only one road team won that game. I think that is the big difference. I'd feel a little bit better that Oakland had a chance, or whoever they are, if the game was being played in their crib, but it's not, and you got to go to Denver. But you know what? How about, like, maybe the Raiders for one time in their lives actually become, like, adults and go out there and play a good football game and do something worthwhile instead of just collecting checks from the visitors all the time. Like, go out there and actually, you know, be a real football team for once.
Go wreck
and
havoc.
Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. Go be spoiler, man. I mean, you have Max Crosby that stuck around during the trade deadline. You have Brock Bowers back. You have your first round pick in Ashton Jeanty, and you're going to Denver. And I have a feeling, I don't know this for a fact, but I know that the Kansas City Chiefs are on their schedule next week, and that's a massive game for the Denver Broncos, because they're probably looking at the Chiefs like, they're a vulnerable team. This is our year to get going. Mm-hmm. We know how to beat them. The script is out, which we'll dive into that a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where Thursdays get weird, man, especially later on in the season. And I know it's an advantage for the home team because they don't have to travel. But again, the last three Thursday night divisional games, the underdog has won, no matter if they are home or away. Mm-hmm. And the Giants beat the Eagles.
Right.
If the Giants can beat the Eagles, the Raiders can beat the Broncos. And that might not be a shot at anybody, but I mean, I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of, did you really have Scatabue scoring three touchdowns? Did you have Jackson Dart being that dog in that game and winning 34-17?
Nope.
And it happens, man. They're just these weird, goofy I hate Thursday night football for a team perspective. Like, I just don't enjoy it. It's not, there's no statistical advantage on a Thursday night game. You're playing on a short week. You're playing a divisional opponent, and it's just irregular. So we'll see what happens tonight when it comes to the Raiders and the Broncos playing tonight on Thursday Night Football. And Nathan, by the way, did you know that MLB free agency begins at 4 o'clock our time today?
I did.
You did? All right.
Yeah. Yes. So according to the Googs, MLB free agency begins at 5 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, November 6th, while players officially become free agents the day after the World Series concludes. They can't sign with a new team until the 5-day waiting period is over, but eligibility begins at 4 o'clock Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern.
Did anybody wake up baseball and let them know that free agency begins at 5 o'clock today? And I'm being serious,
it
man.
Like mid-February for the MLB.
That's the problem, is that, you know, we have, you know, every other sport that explodes on the day of free agency goes crazy. I'm talking basketball and football, and we love that. And baseball's like, man, we'll see you. We'll see you Valentine's Day. And I think the free agency period this year, guys, is going to be a slow dud for a while because we have no baseball next year, right? We're going to have that lockout. They're going to lock out the players. I say no baseball, but the owners are already planning on locking somebody out. Was it Ben Maller that told us this morning the Angels hired their new manager and only signed him to a 1-year contract? Because they know the lockout is coming next year. Like, right, regardless of how you want to phrase it, the owners will be locking out the players next year. Now, does that mean they're going to miss games or anything like that? There's no guarantees that that's going to happen because the lockout's going to begin like December 1st. If baseball has any sense and has a brain and isn't the Oakland Raiders, you don't miss a damn thing. You don't miss a GD thing if you're baseball right now riding this heater of 51 million people watching the World Series this year, right? Yeah. Like Game 7, 51 million people watch Game 7 worldwide. That's an astounding number for a sport, not the NFL. And so I'm interested to see if teams are going to be doling out long-term contracts. I don't think they are. I think we're going to have a sprint to spring training this year where people are signing one-year deals, man. And I think that benefits the Royals. And I love that because if I'm the Royals right now, there may be a lot of dudes that are just sitting there waiting for a contract that aren't going to get a long-term deal because nobody knows what the future of baseball is going to be. That's where they need to capitalize this offseason. Go in there and swoop in and get some of these long one-year contracts and make a freaking run this year because – we don't know what the future is going to hold or if there's going to be a future, you know, for Major League Baseball.
Top 10 free agents in baseball, according to Baseball America. Kyle Tucker, Bo Bichette, Framber Valdez, Alex Bregman, Pete Alonso.
All guys I'd take.
Dylan Cease, Shane Bieber, Cody Bellinger, Gleyber Torres, Kyle Schwarber. Why do I feel Cody Bellinger is going to be a Royal?
I saw yesterday he may be reuniting with the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger would be a nice addition here in Kansas City. That's a good, solid major league bat, former MVP type of guy. Do you not like Cody Bellinger?
No, I think
you
he's
do?
Great.
Okay, you do.
Yeah,
okay.
I just think he's stoned all the time.
he could be one of those guys, though, that would be in line for a 2 or 3 year deal. And he's not going to, in terms of an annual average value, take less money, but he could take less on the years, Bob, with the lockout coming up. The guys like Schwarber, Tucker, Pete Alonso, Bo Bichette, they're going to get signed regardless. But it's that second tier there of guys, maybe not even in the Bellinger, but there's hitters like Jorge Polanco opted out from the Mariners yesterday. Trent Grisham from the Yankees would be a free agent. Guys like that where, yeah, I think they're just going to sit there until spring training and just be on the who wants me to play for them.
I think we're going to see a lot of what happened with Mike Moustakas when he went to free agency the first time and nobody made offers to him because they didn't know the landscape of baseball at that point in time. Also, too, if you're a player and you're the lawyer guy, so you may have a better read than Dusty and I on this one, who does it benefit? Does it benefit the player to sign a long-term deal, not knowing what the future, you know, of Major League Baseball is going to be? Or does it benefit ownership to get these guys signed up to a long-term deal, not knowing what the future of baseball is going to be?
Man, I mean, well, if there is some sort of cap on the top of the sport, whether it's the luxury tax goes up or it's a hard salary cap, yeah, you would think owners become, I mean, there's less money to go around. You think they're less willing to exceed that. So I think maybe it might benefit the player to get the higher annual average value, which means we don't see any contracts this offseason because the owners don't want to give those out.
Right.
That's the way my mind is approaching this, but I guess it could work the other way too. The way that it really is going to hurt the teams is the guys that haven't yet hit free agency, losing a year of eligibility when they don't play in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Losing the year on Michael Garcia, on Vinny Pasquantino if they're not yet signed to an extension. That's what's going to hurt the owners.
And you look at Cody Bellinger last year, you would kill to have this as your right fielder. 272, 29 home runs, 98 RBIs.
Hell yes.
There's your issue.
Right.
Because we know what the issue is. It's second base and it's right field.
Uh-huh.
We know who's going to DH. We know who's going to play first. We know who's going to catch third, short. They're locked up. I think Kyle Isbell's probably your center fielder next year. What's Michael Massey's role? Is that your second baseman you're going to know? What do you trust the back? Do you trust the health of Massey?
What's Jonathan India's role?
Limited.
Yeah.
Limited, very. We'll see. I mean, he ain't playing third base. He was your opening day third baseman last
year. That's right.
And the guy that replaced him won Gold Glove.
That's exactly right.
So, like,
yeah.
It was right there.
I don't even know why we were trying with him at third base last year.
But, I mean, yeah, I'm totally down for Cody Bellinger. He'll be 31 in July. Still got some prime years left. He seems like the perfect time of his career to be in that Royal role. But I don't think you're going to get a guy like Kyle Tucker. I don't know how many people are on board with a guy like Kyle Tucker as of right now.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. You just judged recently, and he wasn't that great in the playoff run for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot of people look at that and be like, "Whoa, is he really worth it?"
Gotcha.
It's like, I don't know. I would love to have Kyle Tucker on the Royals, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, if any Royals fans complaining about
but Bellinger kind of sits that mold, veteran player, been around. Yep. Opted out of his contract with the Yankees. I mean, he did put it up against a very good year. I mean, his slash .334, .480, .813. That's solid numbers for a baseball player. I mean, that's
I'd take him in a heartbeat here.
Of course you would. And he's, you know, obviously the power numbers might be up. Left-handed hitter hitting on that right field wall in New York. But still 29 dingers, take away five or four. I mean, you're looking at a 25 home run guy, 270 average, and 90 RBI, and your right field's fixed. And you don't have to, like, put all that pressure on the kid in Caglione. Plus, you still have Carter Jensen. You have that pitching rotation that's great. You wouldn't have to necessarily trade for Bellinger. He's a free agent. He's opted out. He's open.
Signing him solves a lot of problems with this.
I mean, that'd be my wish. It's not going to happen. I don't think, but I mean, I would love that.
You sign him, and I would think right now, because first of all, sign him. That means you didn't have to give up anything, right? So you still have all your pitchers and all your arsenal and all that kind of stuff ready to go. You sign Cody Bellinger, and if that's the only move that the Royals make this year, how are they not the favorites to win the American League Central?
Well, they could also become massive favorites if what Jim Bowden says comes to truth.
It's a yes or no question.
Okay.
Tarek Skubal, a Detroit Tiger next year.
No. I mean, look, I have to add something that I can't just say yes or no. He won't be because they won't be able to sign him. The offer they made him was embarrassing. You have to know that Skubal is the second best pitcher in baseball to Paul Skeens, and he's going to be the highest paid pitcher in baseball history. Your first offer has to make him the highest paid pitcher in baseball. And you're hundreds of millions off with your initial offer, and you can't go into the season knowing he's going to be free agent and nothing for him. So you got to be sitting here and spend the whole offseason trying to find out who has the best farm system and who's willing to make a run and trade their farm system for him and what team's going to be able to step up and pay what it's going to take to get him. I find a hard time to believe that the Ilitch family is going to commit it to Skubal. So that being said, I think he's going to be traded between now and the beginning of spring training.
And that's what they should do. And that's 100% what they should do.
I mean, that is a generational left-handed pitcher.
Yep.
In terms of a team-building position, yes. I don't think the Tigers signed Tarek Skubal. They think they can compete for the World Series, and they just did this whole selling guys rebuilding for the last 12 years before last season. You can't sell that to your fans. I mean, first of all, the offer they made Tarek Skubal was like last offseason, so that number would have gone up since then. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little unfair to say their offer was really far off.
Well, yeah, a year ago,
And I don't think they're re-signing him. I really don't. I don't think that the Ilitch family's going to pony up like that. Man, trading him off when you think you could have gone. They were in game five that they could have won. It could have been them against the Blue Jays. You could do that for any team at any point in the season. But they were in this thing in the AL playoffs. Yeah, that's a tough sell.
Depends on what you get back for Tarek Skubal. Now, if you trade him and you get 27 minor leaguers back, yes, that is a tough sell, right? But if you get major leaguers that people have heard of before, that's a different sort of conversation. Have you guys seen Tarek Skubal in person pitch yet? Have you had that opportunity?
I have.
In person, in the stands, watching
multiple
this guy,
times.
Right? So he pitched on one of our baseball trips this past year, right? One of the games we saw was Tarek Skubal. The game lasted, I think, an hour and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. We're like, where the hell did this game go, right? It's unbelievable to watch this guy in person. I mean, it is. He's worth the price of admission, and I would encourage whoever he's playing for, if you get a chance to watch, he's one of those players that you go and watch. And if they let him go, that city will be, you know, disappointed, I would imagine, because the city gave back to that team. They were sold out basically every single game. This city bought in. Like, everything you want fans to do, they did. And so if you don't sign him to a long-term deal and trade him, you better have something worthwhile coming back, because your fans bought in, and now they're going to buy right back out if you don't get worthy back in return.
And when you do talk about teams that view this as a one-year window prior to what the future holds in 2027, whether it's no missed time, but the financial landscape has changed, or whether it is missed time, And with Scooble's contract ending, I think this is a team that strikes me as we're going to spend more money on this year's team and try to push the chips in the middle to win this season. And I think that has to involve Tarik Skubal.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you want to guess the two teams that have the most interest in Tarik Skubal?
Mets and Dodgers?
Correct, yeah. It's just sick to my stomach.
But that's why we need change, though, guys. I mean, like, the people in baseball who don't understand that, the players, fans are over. Just like that reaction right there is where fans just go, ugh, the Mets and Dodgers, we stand no chance. If this is the NFL and Patrick Mahomes is a free agent, let's just say, every fan base believes they have a chance to get Patrick Mahomes. And in baseball, you got this thing going on, and there's like two fan bases that are out there going, we can get this guy. And don't you want that if you're a player to have every team bidding on you? Isn't that better?
Sure. I mean, but also I'm not going to listen to anybody else if the first envelope in my mailbox is the Dodgers and the second one is the Mets.
Right, I'm like, yeah.
All right, this is, we're house money. I can either go play for New York for $600 million or I can go play for LA for $600 million and get all that money when I'm 55 years old.
Yeah, ask Soto and Shohei how those bidding wars went for the two of them.
Right.
They're doing pretty well.
But I'm saying, like, that's why we need to eliminate those bidding wars. It needs to be a system where you don't have that, where two envelopes show up and they're the only two that can participate because they're the only two that have enough money to participate in something like that. That's where that needs to end. When you go to free agency in Major League Baseball, every team should have the same opportunity to sign you. Everybody should be playing under the same rules in a sport. Baseball has never done that, and that ultimately is what's going to kill this game because they're clueless. The people who are running this thing, the players, all of the folks in baseball that can't get a deal done and they're going to go to this lockout next year are fools.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that Tarik Skubal is more likely a Tiger or that Paul Skenes is more likely a Pirate?
I'm going to say Skenes more likely a Pirate. I don't want to be a Pirate.
Well,
I would agree, but I still don't see him as a Pirate for the rest of his career. I think I just want to see what that team looks like.
I thought you were talking about just this year.
This year, Skenes a Pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was called upon by the Yankees this season during the trade deadline, and they said, no, thank you. Because they wanted, what was it? They wanted like Ben Rice. They wanted a catcher in their system, and they wanted their number one prospect. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees like, nah, I don't think so. We got Garrett Cole coming back next year.
Yeah.
The other guy we stole from Pittsburgh. Well, Houston.
Yeah. The owners, they want obviously something capping that spending on top.
Yeah.
I really, really hope the players get something on the bottom.
Well, there needs to be a floor. I'm not a favor of a cap unless there's a floor.
No, but it needs to be like the Marlins, for example, who spent $60 million. There needs to be a, hey, if you don't spend $100 million on your team this year, you have to pay that difference anyway into a pool that gets like divided up between pre-arbitration, but like take that money away from them anyway. Something
and give it to the players, you're saying.
So that the owner sits there and thinks, I'm going to spend this money anyway. I might as well be on the team that I'm putting on the field this year. There's got to be something on the bottom half of that as well for this to be effective.
Be great if opening day was Dodgers versus Mets and it was Skubal versus Skenes.
Oh my God.
Here's baseball in a nutshell. Coming up on the other side, gambling is big business. We'll explain what that means on the other side, plus the World Series highest in 32 years when it comes to viewership. We'll dive into all that next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some breaking news out of the gambling world, Bobby Betts.
Yeah, this is actually really, really big right now in the world of sports. ESPN and Penn Entertainment are ending their sports betting partnership After signing a 10-year, $2 billion deal in 23, ESPN Bet will officially shut down on December 1st with 8 years left on their initial agreement. So gone is ESPN Bets now, which is very, very interesting, I think, because there have been some people complaining about the fact that, you know, with this gambling stuff that went on with the NBA and all of the, what was it, about 2 weeks ago today, actually, when we started to hear about, you know, all the NBA stuff that was going on, people immediately went, ESPN has their own gambling platform. ESPN has their own betting platform. ESPN, is it legit? Is it above board? And all this kind of stuff of what people were saying. And here we are with ESPN Bets shuttering effective at the end of the month. I mean, so if you're on ESPN Bets, you better cash out right now. You got any money in that thing, because that sucker is going away. And I don't know if Penn Gaming, who used to, I think that was the Barstool Casino originally that became ESPN Bet. I don't know if Penn Gaming is going to get in, you know, in bed with anybody else and have a licensing agreement with anybody else. But I mean, that's major news today, Dusty, that ESPN is getting out of the gambling business right now. That's crazy.
Yeah. And yesterday McAfee like ran him through the mud about the whole YouTube thing on his show.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really interesting that he like, you know, broke the, I don't know, the bind, I guess, the tie that binds them together, which is him being on ESPN and basically throwing shade and like, all right, I guess you're doing whatever you want because of who you are and what your clout you built is. Because, I mean, he's already came after ESPN once. He's now doing it again, and they're probably not going to do anything about it because of what his numbers are.
And
so
he's bigger than Stephen A. Smith as far as I'm concerned. I enjoy him a lot more than Stephen A. Smith.
So that's, you enjoy him more. He is not bigger than Stephen A.
You're right.
Can he sit next to Jerry Jones in a suite? Absolutely. But if that's how you're judging it, that Stephen A. is, I mean—
Yeah, to a different level. I think you're probably right. But I enjoy McAfee more than Stephen A. Smith. I mean, there's not as much yelling.
For sure. But I mean, like, I mean, Stephen A., where he's at and where McAfee is at. Now, where McAfee is going, right? Like, McAfee does more.
Yeah.
Like, he does College Game Day. He does his show. He does WWE on Friday Night SmackDown, I think, or at least he does every once in a while. He'll do, like, pay-per-views.
Now Stephen A's branching onto the political side, so he's getting himself in front of people that probably didn't come to ESPN.
Which would explain to you how much bigger he is if he's able to be in the political world of things and also sports and also have his own like morning show where everybody goes and he stays. But again, you talk about gambling and how big it is. This is from Charlie Baiello or Baiello, however you say it. Americans bet over $148 billion on sports last year. That's $148 billion last year Americans bet on sports, which is more than they spent on movies, books, concerts, and sports tickets combined.
Yes.
The first comment goes, people aren't addicted to sports. They're trying to escape. When life feels unwinnable, gambling feels like a shortcut. The real problem isn't betting, it's hopelessness.
I think what the real problem is there is people enjoy gambling, right? And it's fun and it's easy to do and you feel like you've got some skin in the game, you're watching the game. I know if you got from my perspective, if I've got money on a game, you're more intently watching that game. You're more dialed into that game. You're more, you know, in tune with what's going on there right now. But what that does show you is that, yes, people do love sports in this country. And that's why we're seeing up with all of these rights fees that are going on right now, because this is what people are consuming. The NFL's at an all-time high with TV ratings. And then 51 million people worldwide just watched the World Series, which is the highest number in 34 years, I believe, for the World Series. And that's why these sports leagues are embracing it. When people say, why are these sports leagues embracing this legalized gambling? It's because it's creating fans. It's bringing more people to the table. The ratings aren't necessarily higher because all of a sudden more football fans woke up. You got legalized gambling in every state. There's more people now that are interested in watching these football games and baseball games. And the leagues are realizing that because of gambling, it's bringing more people to the party. I mean, what Dusty just said there, $148 billion last year on sports gambling. More than books, concerts, sports, games, and movies combined tells you what people are doing right now. And so that's why these leagues are embracing it, because it's the next way to make money. Mm. Now, the ESPN thing this morning is you know, that's a completely different conversation. That's a left-hand turn.
That's also a Disney corporation, too. And how much do they want to be tied to
maybe
gambling?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point. I didn't even think of it from that perspective. Like Disney woke up and went, hey, wait a second here. We sell family. We sell fun. We sell, you know, pure.
And then there's those dads going, we went to Disney World this year because I bet on the Eagles to be the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. it's both, man. How do you think I afforded Bruce Springsteen tickets? Mahomes MVP, Chiefs AFC, Chiefs win Super Bowl, Mahomes the Super Bowl MVP, and Justin Jefferson wins Offensive Player of the Year. Five individual bets I hit. Well over $1,500, and I went to a concert for free, and my dad was like, so do I need to buy the drinks? He goes, oh, no, never mind. You're still on house money.
Right.
So, I mean, it can't be both. The other thing, too, about it, and I feel bad, you know, cutting you off.
No.
But, like, the other thing, too, about it is that, like, somebody makes a good point that a lot of these people gamble under professional gamblers on sites that are using big bankrolls is the quote they use in the text line. So that's there as well. Whereas, like,
it doesn't change that it's still being spent on that.
Whereas,
though,
like, you bet a Sports Equinox parlay, what'd you bet?
$5? Yeah.
I bet a parlay probably once a day, $10.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same thing as going to get a scratcher for $10. I'm probably not going to win, but every once in a while I might.
Right.
And then I'm using that money to then play again. So the unit that I'm using is the same unit per se, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I would hope.
So yeah, and then
I mean, if it's different, you gotta let people know that you're doing that.
Yeah. So like, I'm gonna say it because it makes sense.
Just move forward.
My unit doesn't increase by week average.
Right.
But it stays the same and it's consistent. Whereas there are some people that are in that world of the small percentage, which I'd like to know what it is, that are going out there and being like, all right, this week, Chiefs, they're playing the Broncos, they're 2.5 point underdogs. I'm putting $300 on the Chiefs to win. And they win or they lose, right? Or I guess they could push. But like that's an anomaly of people that'll bet.
Right.
There's also people that'll bet a $500 bet for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and they won't bet the rest of the year, right? Or there's, you know, guys like Bob, they're like, ah, Sports Equinox, this is weird. I'll bet it. And then he'll come back, and then, you know, next week he's like, oh, Chiefs, Broncos, the Chiefs are underdogs. Chiefs money line, $5 underdog, boom. I think they're going to hit the over of points.
Right.
You know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But, yeah, $148 billion.
But also, too, when that person said that those are some professional gamblers with bankrolls, they wouldn't be gambling that money if we didn't have the ability to do that everywhere in the country. Right? They probably would be redirecting that money towards concert, whatever the case may be, right? They're using that money because they have access to that money. We were talking to Ben Maller before the show, and we were talking about the crisis in Las Vegas again, and why aren't people going there? I'm like, you don't really need Las Vegas anymore. You really don't. You're not getting anything special anymore by going there. Every city's got a casino. For the majority of people, you can gamble on sporting events right from your couch. Missouri on December 1st, you know, you'll be able to do that and whatnot. So what's the allure of Las Vegas? Why do I need to go out there anymore? I just don't need to go out there anymore for that kind of stuff.
I think the unfortunate part about what that gentleman's tweet said is like the hopelessness part. That's the cause of any addiction, is feeling like you're not in control of things.
Yeah,
it's not new for sports gambling. It's the unfortunate reality many people deal with all throughout their lives. By the way, Dusty, I say a lot of people, they just want an average unit. So, I mean, keep your head up over there.
No doubt about it, man. But again, the quote was, Americans bet over $148 billion on sports last year, which was more than they spent on movies, books, concerts, and sports tickets combined.
So that's something beyond just an addictive allure of the activity. And so, but also, I would look at it and say, with that the $148 billion, if you don't think there's a dozen more Terry Rozier's, Jontay Porter's, Emmanuel Clase is just waiting to get caught. I mean, you've got another thing coming. I don't know how they slow that stuff down, but yeah, it's more than just, oh, they've trapped the consumer. This is something that Americans love to do.
I'd also like to know what the number is, because a lot of sports gambling just became legal in a lot of places.
Right.
December 1st, it's going to be legal in Missouri. That number is going to be skewed.
That's 6 million people in the state of Missouri that now have access to gambling.
And the first thing they're going to do is Chiefs win Super Bowl.
Right.
Right. Or they're going to be like,
Cardinals win the World Series.
Or they're going to, you know, Bobby Witt MVP, Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl MVP. What would be another one? You could have, like, I don't know, you could do whatever you wanted to, and they're going to do those season-long bets, and they're going to put, you know, whatever they're going to put on it and not really know anything that they're doing, but they know that it's legal. Plus, the people like me, when I can finally bet live, like, that number is going to be skewed, because I've never been able to bet live in Missouri. I've had to come out to Row and Quick Trip, where I go every Sunday morning, and place my bets. And I won't have to do that anymore. And now that number will also be skewed.
Yeah, that number's going to get bigger, because there's going to be more people.
It's like, I wonder what alcohol sales were once Prohibition ended.
Yeah.
Probably skyrocketed, and then it eventually leveled out, and then, you know, whatever else happened.
Right. So, or alcohol sales when Kansas finally allowed you to buy on Sunday, too. I'm sure, you know, it obviously went up and whatnot. So, I think right now where we are in sports gambling, I'm fine. I don't mind it at all. It's everybody's preference, and you know, do what you want and how you view things. But it's very, I'm interested to see today and as the morning goes along, the spin that ESPN is going to put on this thing. Because this is big news that's going to come out, you know, and is starting to trickle out. ESPN Bet and Penn Gaming have done, is over. ESPN is pulling out of this deal and whatnot. I guess they didn't like, you know, their setup or whatever the case may be. I don't know, but
it's their pullout game.
It is their pullout game. They signed a 10-year deal with Penn Gambling. After 2 years, ESPN is done and ESPN Bet is over. Effective December 1st. So again, I'm going to be following this spin zone for this one today. Maybe ESPN is just honest and says, look, we just didn't feel comfortable with all the scandal that went on in the NBA to be a part of this. We're separating ourselves. That would be the smart thing to say. They won't say that.
Or it's a massive red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, UFC, it's on ESPN. It's under investigation. Oh, the NBA, it's on ESPN a lot. It's under investigation. Oh, ESPN, the Bet app is no longer there. Weird. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Coming up, we have you pick one or the other when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's right. You have the power next. You pick one here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.